Okay, so welcome everyone to this October FNC Office Hours call. And today we have the great privilege of listening to Dr. Michelle Gamble. I'll just give you a little bit and then the rest of you can, or she'll share the rest of her story with you. But I actually first met Michelle when she was inquiring about the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training Program. And I could tell just from that first conversation that this was a smart woman, that this was a woman who wasn't gonna let anything keep her down. And she's just been on this trajectory ever since I've met her. And so I was really grateful to have her agree to be one of our coaches this year. So I'm going to leave it at that. And she's going to share her screen and what she's talking about. And I'm going to mute myself.
Yay. Well, hello, everyone. It is wonderful to see you guys. I'm going to share my screen. And actually, what I should do before I do that, because I know how this runs. I need to do this, and I need to do this, and then I need to do this. Sorry, guys, little technical issues here, because I should have prepped before I did this, but I think we're good now. Because that allows me to do this. Okay. So you should be able to see my screen at this point in time. Is everyone seeing my screen? I don't hear anyone.
No. Yes.
Oh, okay. I
muted myself, sorry. Yes. I'm sitting here shaking my head. Yep.
Okay, so let's try the sharing again. Mm-hmm. And go here. Okay, so are you seeing the single screen? Lynn?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not seeing the double screen.
I do see a double screen. I see Heart Song on one side and then the medical screen.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I don't want that. So let's try this. Ah. We're going to get it together sooner or later. Okay, how about now?
There you go.
Yay.
We already have it together. Everybody else just has to catch up.
Welcome, everyone. As was previously noted, my name is Dr. Michelle Gamble. Today, I have the beautiful pleasure of sharing with you something that is extremely passionate to my heart. I know everyone in this country has been rocked to our core with the recent events that we have undergone as a nation with the Supreme Court justice hearings and listening to the testimony of an extremely brilliant woman. And in listening to her, one of the things that struck me was the fact that we have amongst us what I call the walking wounded. The rates of trauma in our nation are tremendous. You know, we just learned from the ACEs study a couple of years ago that the majority of Americans really and truly have undergone not one, but even more traumas. And the ACE study focused on childhood traumas. However, we all know that trauma doesn't end in childhood. Many of us continue to experience trauma as adults. Subsequently, many years ago, I started developing this concept of Heart Song. And I wish I could say that it's original. It isn't. It's based on ancient practices. And the recent events in our nation made me aware of the fact that we really need to tap into those ancient, ancient therapeutic secrets. I say that this is a transformative process of release from pain and suffering, of trauma, to attain spiritual awakening and realization of true happiness, health, and wealth. As you all know, I am not a medical doctor. I'm also not a psychologist or psychiatrist. So there's nothing in this presentation that is intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified medical professional. This is not intended as any type of medical advice. It is simply a sharing of my knowledge and, more importantly, of my heart, based on research and my own personal experiences, as well as the experiences of various clients. I encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research in partnership with your healthcare professionals, and most importantly, tuning into your heart's wisdom. A little bit about who I am and why I do what I do. I am what I term an integrative wellness mentor, and I'm a trauma experiential alchemist. And I know you're just like, what the heck is that, Michelle? I focus on helping people to look at health from a healing-oriented perspective, taking into account body, mind, heart, and soul, and also emphasizing the need for us to integrate conventional medicine with quote-unquote alternative medicine. When I talk about being a trauma experiential alchemist, it's because during my childhood, I experienced several sexual traumas. Interestingly enough, I did not really recall these incidents until later on in my adult life, when I came to the awareness that there was something dysfunctional occurring in my own relationships with my husband at that point in time. And I didn't know why. I had no idea of why. You know, he was a loving person, and I couldn't understand why I was not able to function optimally in our relationship, particularly during the sexual experience. Because of that, I went to a ritualistic experience where we went away and we did a cleanse, a fast. And this was a fast of all things, not only of food, but also there was no sleep. And there was a lot of integration of what I'm going to refer to as beautiful ancient therapeutic modalities. So there was the use of herbs, taste. There was the use of colors and imagery. There was the use of essential oils. And most importantly, there was the use of what I term therapeutic harmonics. Through that type of experience, I was able to not only access the memories of that traumatic experience, later on, I was taught how to utilize those same tools to be able to transcend that experience, to transform that experience. And that's why I say that I am an alchemist. I enjoy teaching people how to be alchemists, how to change the lead in their lives into gold. I want to encourage us to consider the possibility that trauma is not who we are. That's why I don't say that I'm a survivor. I don't even say that I'm a victor or anything of that nature, because I don't identify myself with the experience that I have had. It is simply an experience that I've had, but it is not who I am. That is the most important lesson that I would like to invite you to consider. Now, before we go any further, I want to talk a little bit more about why conventional approaches fail. The first reason is because trauma is not logical. You know, there's nothing about trauma that quote unquote makes sense. When we ask ourselves, why would we hold on to a wounding experience? It doesn't make sense. the whole notion of self-preservation tells us that we wouldn't want to hold on to something that is continuously wounding us, continuously tearing us apart. It's illogical. And yet, the approaches that we tend to utilize within our conventional sphere are logic-based. You know, we talk to people and we help people to quote-unquote rationalize that, yes, this happened to you in the past. And yes, whatever happened to you, it was because that person did such and such. It is not that you are a bad person. Do you see where I'm going with this? All of that is logic. All of that is based on the idea that somehow the trauma and the effect of trauma can be resolved or negated by simply making it make sense and simply assuring somebody of the logic of digging out of that quote-unquote trauma wound. The other challenge is that conventional approaches use a direct form of engagement where you're constantly focusing directly on the wound. What we're going to talk about as we proceed today is that when it comes to the emotions, when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the spirit, really and truly, you achieve more through less. When we look at many spiritual texts, we are invited to not deal with quote-unquote evil directly, but to focus on the complement, which is the good, the wonderful. And it is that indirect approach that enables us to heal. We can even look at the example of quote-unquote cancer within the physical body. The Western approach, for the most part, is one of directly attacking the cancer cells, right? Whereas a more holistic approach can be, well, the cancer cell is over there. Let me focus on the healthy cells. Let me focus on creating a healthy environment. And in a healthy environment, guess what? The wonderful side effect is that the cancer will die of starvation because we're not giving it the attention and the nutrition that it needs. The same is true with traumatic wounds. They create an energetic body. Some of you are old enough to remember the movie Ghostbuster and the interesting, huge marshmallow puff man, right? Fed off of the fear of the community, the constant focus on the community. The more the community focused on the marshmallow puff man, the bigger and bigger and bigger he grew. And indeed, the way in which they were able to overcome the marshmallow puff man was by helping people to break their connection and their fixation on fear, on this energetic being, and to instead focus on something else. So we're going to talk about that. Another reason why these conventional approaches fail is because they're based on a false identity where we are identifying with the trauma that has occurred. And as I stated before in the very beginning, I want to challenge us to make a separation between a stressor, in this case, a traumatic event, and the stress, our response to that event. When we feel that our response to the event is intrinsic, is an absolute based on whatever it is that we're encountering, then we have a false sense of identity because now we think that we must identify with the wound as opposed to realizing that we are divine beings that have a wonderful opportunity to exercise our divine right of choice. We can choose to extract ourselves, to separate ourselves from that event, and to tie into our true identity, which is one of a divine being. And last but not least, what we're going to talk about right after this is the fact that conventional approaches fail to take into consideration that you cannot use physical and mental tools for emotional spiritual wounds. Now, what do I mean by that, you may ask? Well, this ties into something called the amygdala hijack. And you might remember from my first screen that I'm a HeartMath licensed provider, which means that not only do I function as a HeartMath coach and a mentor, I've also been trained in terms of really understanding the science behind why it works. One particular aspect of HeartMath science that I want to share with you is something called the amygdala hijack. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a video for you, a short little video.
The amygdala is the body's anxiety switch. In usual day-to-day life, the amygdala is in the off mode. The only times it gets activated is during moments of danger or threat, when an appropriate anxiety response is necessary. However, when this switch is repeatedly activated during moments of stress, sadness, grief, or anger, it may get stuck in the on mode. Once this happens, people start to develop acute phobias, panic attacks, and anxiety disorders. When you get anxious often, the amygdala assumes that this level of anxiety is the new norm. It then adapts and adopts this new level of anxiety as the normal level of anxiety for your body. This is why some people seem anxious all the time. On a conscious level, they may feel it is wrong, and they should not be feeling so anxious, but on the subconscious level, they are unable to change it once it has been set. This process of learning is known as operant conditioning. Scientists have been aware for years that this is the cause of all anxiety disorders, including panic attacks and phobias. Under normal conditions, operant conditioning is used by the brain to acquire new knowledge, like learning to read, drive, or even juggle a few balls. Practicing, repeating, an action or group of actions allows us to learn and master new skills.
The amygdala is a part of the brain that stores our emotional memories. What is very important for us to realize is that when you try to utilize things like quote-unquote talk therapy, it makes no sense because the amygdala hijacks the brain. The amygdala prevents us from being able to access the frontal cortex, for us from being able to access the executive functioning. And that is why conventional approaches to trauma do not work. There's no way that you can talk your way out of an emotional, spiritual trauma. Because of this exact mechanism called the amygdala hijack, what happens is that you fall into a loop of patterns, what I call a knee-jerk reaction, an emotional, spiritual knee-jerk reaction, wherein whenever you encounter an environment that is somewhat similar to the initial traumatic event, you have that knee-jerk reaction of responding the same way that you responded in the original event. It's similar to death by a million cuts. Our original trauma is compounded by the fact that we are constantly reliving that trauma. We're constantly looping that particular traumatic energy. The event may not be the same. And in fact, we may never experience another traumatic event similar to the original, but just little triggers in life create that looping within the brain, within the consciousness, that makes us relive that trauma over and over and over again. And as you remember, in those Supreme Court hearings, we are dealing with extremely intelligent people the woman who testified, an extremely intelligent woman with a PhD in psychology, no less. So we're not talking about someone who doesn't have the ability to process intellectually what has happened. Many of us who go through a traumatic experience, we can intellectually understand that that does not define who we are, that that was an event that happened a long time ago. And yet, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, there's something that keeps us looping over and over and over and over again. This is where the wisdom of our ancestors come in. What I refer to as the science of holy ritual therapy. I want you to take into consideration a holy trinity. And the trinity starts with the mind, which is, in a way of speaking, a masculine energy. See, we talk about willpower. However, we don't really recognize that willpower is not one thing. Willpower is the synergy of two energies coming together. The masculine energy of initiating a decision, otherwise known as the will, and the feminine energy of generating the power through the emotions. In fact, that is the definition of emotions, that which moves you, right? And that is what we are missing many times when we talk about using therapeutic protocols to help to heal a traumatic event. Last but not least, and this is the sweet part, where you integrate the subtle energetics of rhythmic harmonics that soothe, essential aromas that resuscitate, that help to bring things back, colorful visions that inspire, tender touches that trigger, and vulnerary flavors that nourish. The integration of these senses help to catalyze the synergy between the will and the power. This gives us that beautiful trinity. You have the Holy Spirit Mother energy, remember the power, the emotional power, merging with the Heavenly Father, that initiatory will, coming together in that beautiful soup of the sensory simulation and creating a human child of divine origins. This is the secret to healing from trauma. Healing occurs when there is a new birth, when we're able to shed and allow the old to die and give birth to a new you. Interestingly enough, I also say that this is based on a beautiful Chinese concept from the I Ching. The I Ching is a set of 64 hexagrams or 64 lessons, spiritual lessons. And one of those hexagrams talks about the idea of increasing through decrease. In this case, what we are decreasing is the energetic attachment, the focus on that traumatic event. But we're not doing it in a direct manner. We're doing it in a slick manner. And the slick manner is simply this. You have a bank account, an energetic bank account. And the same way that we say to people, let your dollars count, go and buy organic produce instead of buying the other stuff. And the hope is that by doing that, slowly but surely, the other stuff will start to diminish and the organic stuff will start to increase. The same is true here. We experience increase and bounty through our detachment from our fixation with the original event. So when I deal with people who are anchored to trauma, it's not about trying to go in there and figure it out and to dig deep and all that kind of stuff. We're going to increase and give birth to a new us by focusing on something completely different. And it is this process of separating that gives the catalyst for increase. Similar to, say, the atomic bomb. That energy that is released from the separation within the atom, that is what we're talking about. I ask you the question, do you dare at this point in time to believe, conceive, and achieve with me for a couple of minutes tonight? I'm going to take that as a yes. The first step is daring to believe. In the words of Marion Williamson, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. For those of us who have experienced trauma, I am challenging you to believe, to be courageous enough to believe that it is not our fear. It is this concept that, do I dare to be something more than my trauma? What would it mean if I'm really and truly a divine person? We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Because you are a divine child of God. Again, dare to believe that you are a divine being. Remember, I said that one of the reasons why conventional therapies do not work is because they're based on a false premise, based on a premise that we are just simply human beings. And I'm challenging you tonight to think that you are not simply a human being. You are a divine being having a human experience. And that trauma that has occurred is one of the human experiences that you have encountered. And indeed, your playing small does not serve the world. For you to think that you are merely a human being does not serve anyone. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people don't feel insecure around you. I know you may say, but who am I? I can't go around thinking that I'm a divine person, that I'm a god or a goddess. Oh, we can't say that. Blasphemy. Ah, but aren't we? We are all meant to shine. Children shine. Children don't think of themselves as being limited. And somehow through the process of trauma, we have started to associate ourselves with this false concept of limitation. But we were born to make manifest the glory of that divine entity that we are. So if you will believe with me, if you will allow yourself to let your own light shine, and by doing so, we are going to not only heal ourselves, but we are also going to unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. Because as we are liberated from our own trauma, as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence of being and stepping into our divinity will automatically liberate others. So if you will believe with me now, together we are going to talk about how to conceive, how to activate that power that we are going to blend together with that will. We have set an intention into the world that we are going to actualize our divinity. We are going to step into the fullness of who we are. And now, as I said, it's one thing to put that intention out there, but you've got to have some money to make this work, honey. And the money that we're talking about, the currency that we're talking about, is generating the emotive power with the senses. We're going to focus tonight on rekindling our devotion to our authentic self by focusing on this emotional power of devotion. We are going to start to strengthen our expansion of our emotional vocabulary. We know how to be angry just like that, right? We know how to get pissed off at somebody just like that. We know how to be envious. We know how to be down. We know how to do all of those things just like that. Tonight, I'm inviting you to work on building your ability to fluidly move and generate the power of the healing emotive by starting to flex this muscle of devotion. We all have an understanding intellectually of what devotion is, a commitment. You know, we're going to tap into the senses. We're going to utilize what we call a healing harmonic. And the healing harmonic we're using tonight is Ong Duhun. The essential oil, if you have it with you, you know, you can take a moment to put it on. I've already done mine. Is jasmine. The colors that we're using, and I already have my colors on, and you can see it in my background. You can even wrap your head, make a shawl, whatever it is. And we're going to use an image that is infused with that color. And this is the image that we're going to use. The image of a mother and child, a father and child, whatever it is. And the tender touch is the intestines. That is where we generate that nurturing power, right? And a taste that you can utilize that helps to connect you with this particular energy is a taste of fresh melons. Now, as we generate this tremendous power within ourselves by synthesizing it with the stimulation of all of these different senses, the image, like I said, you can focus on the image that we have here, and this is the external image. You can also choose to go within and see yourself nurturing that inner child. And that inner child is your authentic self. Think of the divine child. And within several spiritual traditions, you always have a pure divine child. We all have that divine child within us, that authentic self. I want you to focus, if you wish, on the image that you see here, or focus on bringing that image internally and seeing yourself holding that child. If you choose to want to deal with an issue of the past, you may want to visualize that age or time period when that occurred, and you are holding that child, that person at that point in time. You are nurturing that divinity within that person. Okay? So we are going to begin. I'm going to shift to the next slide, which is going to have just this image here. In your own background, if you want to turn off your lights, you can choose to do so. Again, if you're comfortable in doing so, you can feel free to close your eyes. And just allow the harmonic to wash over you. One note is that there is no literal interpretation of the harmonic. So don't sit there trying to think, okay, well, what does this mean? Remember, this is totally bypassing the cerebral cortex. This has nothing to do with the cerebral cortex. We are creating a new energetic child, a new energetic body that we're going to be able to feed. And as we continue to feed this energetic body, we're conceiving it at this point in time, right? Tonight. And yet the process of gestation will vary. You know, for different animals, gestation period varies. So your gestation period before this child is able to be come into the world to do some serious stuff is going to vary from my timing. Don't worry about anyone else's timing. Don't worry about trying to measure, oh, you know, I should have finished gestating this baby 6 weeks ago. Don't worry about that. Just focus each day on continuing to nurture this seed that we are going to conceive tonight together. So I'm going to slip into the next slide and we're going to start this process. We're going to do what is called a 4-4 breath, breathing in for the count of four and breathing out for the count of four. As you breathe in, you're going to pull your attention to your heart center. You're going to pull your imagery into your heart center, and you are going to activate that feeling of loving devotion and generate and focus upon that feeling of loving devotion. Let us begin. Activating that sense of devotion. That deep love of the inner child. And seeing that child as the perfection, unblemished perfection that he or she is. And that divine child is unaffected by any and all circumstances, unblemished, never changing,
always divine. Feel the loving devotion stronger and stronger within your heart center. That acceptance and appreciation of that divine child. See yourself for who you really are, that divine child. Untouched, unfettered. Smell the sweet aroma of the jasmine. Revel in the colors of blue and white and sea foam. Oh, truly, how beautiful it is to be one with such a divine being. And we take this time to say thank you. And this is not to say goodbye. This is just to say till we meet again, because this you have been able to conceive and believe. We put those together. We have sown them into our hearts, into our spirits. I invite you to gestate that seed in the days to come. To put on a little jasmine, and the jasmine, remember, we said it resuscitates the memory of this experience. To breathe deeply into your heart center, to utilize the colors, to infuse that image of that divine child within you, to pull all of those sensory integrations together, to continue to gestate. To continue to feed that beautiful divine child that is within, that remains unharmed and separate from the circumstances of this world. You can feel free to contact me by telephone or by visiting my website. And on the website, if you enjoy the harmonic that we utilized tonight, when you go to the website under Jumpstart Programs, you'll see Heart Song. And at the bottom, there are the individual tracks that you are free to tap into at any point in time. We also have the blueprint that talks about the different energetic centers and which therapeutic sounds, which colors, which scents, which body systems correlate to help to stimulate and activate this process. You can also feel free to email me. And I would like to thank you.
Wow, thank you. I know a few people on the chat have been saying how much they really enjoyed this. And I actually have a question.
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason for the choice of Jasmine? Yeah, that's my question.
Well, each energetic center has a different essential oil that resonates with that particular energy. Jasmine is the aroma that helps to trigger the emotive feeling and emotive power of devotion, of humility, of nurturing. And that's why we utilize jasmine. Each, depending on what energetic center we're dealing with, we'll use a different oil that is synergistic and helps to activate that particular feeling. So for many of us, it may be challenging to feel that sense of loving devotion. If that is the case, you utilize these training wheels, and the training wheels are images, the training wheels are colors, the training wheels are tastes, the training wheels are specific essential oils, because all of these go into the side door or the back door of the brain and helps us to integrate and, in a way of speaking, transform events into something else. Remember, I said to transform the lead, the heaviness, the darkness of that which has occurred, and to use it now in a different way, to make it become gold in your life. That's why when I listened to the woman's testimony, I was struck by the fact that you could still feel the heaviness in her testimony. There was still lead in that experience for her. What I want to share with people is that that experience does not have to remain lead in your life. You can transform that experience into gold, so that when you look back on that experience, because we're not talking about forgetting the experience, we're talking about disassociating that energy that pulls us down, and to transform it into something that becomes uplifting.
Thank you. I know, I think it was, well, everybody's been commenting on the radiance of your skin. So
thank you.
Kimberly said she has questions.
Yay. Questions.
No.
Okay. And part of it, you know, like I said, if you have an opportunity to go to the site and to just listen again and to recognize that this is not a thinking matter. You know, this is to just let go, to just relax, and to realize that your spirit is divinely designed to heal. What prevents us from healing is us, that we think that we've got to figure it out, that we've got to somehow do something. And that is actually counterproductive, because the more we try to figure it out, and why did this happen to me, and how could I do this, and why do I keep responding like that, why do I keep feeling this way, the more you try to resist it and the more you try to figure it out intellectually, the more power it is going to have over you. And what I'm saying to you is, let's go through the back door. Let's not even think about that. Let's focus on nurturing and giving birth to a new little child. The child that is already within us that we may not even realize is there. And to just focus on giving that child the love.
Yeah. I really like what you say about not focusing on the struggle, basically. Mm. If you're just in with that flow, the understanding from that is that we are always being taken care of. And for some reason, we've lost that idea, and we think we have to do it all, and we're all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I really love that you're kind of reinforming or reawakening people up to the fact that they aren't alone, that they are always being taken care of.
And that's why we utilize the essential oil and the colors and the harmonics and the flavors, because those are our memory cues. Those are the things that help us to remind us that we have these divine powers. We have the divine power to be devotional, to be loving, and to nurture that part of our being. We just need little remembering, you know, like we tie little knots around our fingers and things of that nature. Well, the mind doesn't work like that. The mind works through all of these other triggers. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll smell something and you can immediately go back to a memory? You don't have to think about it. It just immediately comes, you know?
Yeah, a song comes on the radio.
Yeah, a certain melody comes on and you feel like you've been transported back in time. And so that is what we do within this process, that we create new emotional memories, right? And you do this on a consistent basis. You're constantly feeding this little emotional, energetic baby so that when you get into a situation where you have that trigger, you can utilize something like the essential oil to take you back to remembering who you are. Because we forget that we are divine beings, especially when we are confronted with certain circumstances. And if you have been nurturing this energetic memory, you can trigger this energetic memory the same way that that circumstance triggered the traumatic memory. And the more you start to feed this energetic baby, it will become bigger than the Marshmallow Puff Man. And the Marshmallow Puff Man will start to shrink because you're not giving him your attention anymore. You're now nurturing this new little creation, which is actually the old creation, the original creation, which is the divine child within.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Thank you. Anybody have anything to share, or I don't even know if questions are right. I think people are just kind of steeping and marinating in all of this. But if anybody has anything they want to share about their experience through this, you know, one thing I find myself doing is sticking my tongue to the roof of my mouth when this happens.
Perfect. It creates that loop. And I forgot to mention that, but when we're breathing, we do breathing through the nostril. It's not an open mouth breath, because as you're breathing, the tongue goes up to the roof and it creates that connection, that looping energetic to create the circulation of the energy through the entire being. Remember, we talked about the integration of that Holy Trinity. We're constantly integrating the masculine and the feminine to give birth to new beautiful energetic bodies, to a new you. The same way that we shed our skin is the same way that we are supposed to shed emotional experiences, mental experiences. We are capable of just seeing them traverse through our awareness and go, okay. To not say, that's my emotion, and to grab onto it and to suck it up into our being and say, this is who I am. And so we slowly separate ourselves from that, because now we're using our focus and our attention on gestating something beautiful. And we do that with all of the different energetic centers. So if you are dealing with anger, we talk about the complement. If you're dealing with depression, we talk about the complement, and we generate those beings little by little. We go up what we call the tree of life that is within our being to get those spheres into balance, because we all fall out of balance. You know, we're all lopsided in some aspect of our being. At different points, it may be different spheres. The key is to know how to get those spheres spinning again. And this is what has been extremely powerful for my person, that when I sense that trigger of that original trauma, I can activate this by utilizing my tools, by utilizing my essential oil, by utilizing the harmonic. And within a matter of seconds, I can shift energetically. But it takes time, because it's not what we've been taught. In fact, we've been taught that emotions just happen, you know, and you just got to deal with them. And we're not saying that emotions are bad or good. We're saying that we want to create the flexibility to pull in and to release emotions at will. It takes practice, though, to know how to activate that fluidity. The same way that it takes practice to learn a new language. These are new languages for many of us.
Marcia asks, can you talk about the Ong Dung? Is that a mantra, and from where, and what is it doing?
Ong Dung. Ong is the activating principle that is attached to all of the different harmonics. And then this harmonic, Du Hung, is the harmonic that is activating the supreme motherly energy of the world. So that is the energy of devotion, the energy of, like I said, motherhood, the energy of nurturing. That sound, because it's not a literal word, that sound activates that feeling within you. As you say the sound, and even if you're not able to say it and vocalize it, as you internalize it and you allow it to reverberate within your being, you will feel yourself being drawn into that emotional state of, oh, oh, so cute. Oh, yay. And it's not a thinking thing, you know, and then when you meld it with the colors and the jasmine, it just happens. Like I said, it's not something to think about and to process. It just happens. It's coming out of the ancient Kemetic tradition, otherwise known as ancient Egypt. And it's also meld with a lot of other different traditions, you know, because basically that energy is universal. And all ancient peoples have used rituals, have used songs, have used music, have used stories, have used images to help people to heal. We have just become disconnected from that process of healing. You know, when something happened when we were young, if we were going back to ancient traditions, guess what the mom would do? The mom would pull the little baby to her and start to sing. That is a way of soothing and releasing that child from attaching to a negative trauma, quote unquote, experience. We've forgotten that. We don't pass those beautiful tools on anymore. Now we need to remind ourselves of those tools, because we live in a world where there's so much trauma. Practically everyone is riddled with these traumatical wounds. That's why I said the walking wounded, and we bury them. What I'm encouraging you to do is to realize that we don't have to just simply adapt. We don't have to simply get by, you know, and just deal with it, just suck it up. That is not the ancient way. The ancient way was to transform it, because energy is energy, right? Now we can just use, like I said, the molecular structure, the energetic structure, and be an alchemist and transform it from that lead into gold, because we need the energy. The energy that is being attached to these traumatic events, it is sucking us dry.
So we don't want to just get rid of the energy. No, that's like giving away good money. You know, so if I say, oh, like I went to the Japan, I didn't say, oh, I've got to throw away my American dollars. No, that's stupid. I said, heck, I'm going to convert my American dollars into Japanese yen. So use that energy and transform it into something beautiful that can heal.
Yeah, you transmute it.
Transmute it, exactly.
Can you say it one more time?
Ong du hung.
Du hung.
So D-H-U-N-G.
Mm-hmm. And is the ong kind of like an om sound?
Exactly. And so you will find that in all of the harmonics. It's the activating principle. It's like the ing. You know, so I have walk, which is the static, and then walking, I've now activated. So you have the activation of that emotional complex.
Yeah. It's almost a vagal response.
Mm-hmm. You can hear, you know, as you go deeper into what we call samadhi or nirvana, you start to feel yourself becoming one with that energy. For some of us, like myself, you know, I tend to be very cerebral. So it took me a long time to get this, right? But for other people, if you're a very sensitive person, you're going to fall into that light, poof, just like that. You're like, whoa, what just happened to me, Michelle? And it's just amazing to see that shift that you don't have to try to do. Do not try to do anything. Just allow. And that's why I said you have to believe that you have that divine power within yourself. That's first and foremost. And then once you have that belief, you meld it with the power of the harmonics and the oils and the colors. And that's when the miracle and the magic happens. Why? Because that's the way it's been designed to occur. We've been designed to be these powerful beings. We just have falling into this false identity of being these limited entities that can only do so much.
Thank you. It was great. Anybody have anything else they'd like to share? All right.
So take it into your sleep, you know. And it's very simple. Even if you don't remember the melody, just. So just take that, just keep repeating it over and over to entrain a new pathway within your being. Mm. And actually, when you do that, you will feel that you are the mother to the world. Because we are. We are each and every one of us. We are all mothers to the world. And you're going to have this sense of, oh, these are all my children. You know, even the rockheads, even the ones that irritate the bejeebies out of you, your kids, you know, this is the perfect thing to do. You know, if you're having difficulty with one of your children, to take the image of your child within your heart and to just repeat this over and over and over and over again. And you will sense that you start to feel that, oh, there you go, Kimberly. You'll just feel like, you'll feel like you're lactating all over again, you know. It'll just come to you. Because I've always said to people, you know, I've always been challenged with the mother kind of thing. Because I'm so cerebral, I'm just like, you know, get her done. And, you know, and I had to use this to reinvigorate that aspect of my being to become more nurturing and more motherly. Mm. Okay. And to just take it into your dreams, to allow your spirit to work on you, to say, I submit to my divine self, and I activate that divinity with me. And to just over and over as you fall to sleep and see what your dreams are and see who you have become when morning arrives.
I think this is a perfect time that we did it because it's towards the evening, mm-hmm. and it will help people as they disconnect from their whatever electronic devices they're on. And you know, this might be a really great time to do like an Epsom salt bath with some of that jasmine in there.
Exactly. Yeah. That water principle. Exactly.
Drinking the water.
Yeah. Drinking the water. You know, if you have a good quality jasmine, put it into your water and drink
it. I put lavender in mine sometimes along with the lemon. But I have some crystals. I just got one, the Celestine.
Okay. And
that's also really helped. So... Yeah. These are all great things that you guys have to start with your sleep hygiene.
And feel free to share with me, you know, any experiences that you have. I would love to hear from you guys, you know, to let me know if this is something that is, you know, triggered anything to bring forth something that is healing and therapeutic, vulnerary.
And if you feel it's appropriate, share it on the Facebook page to encourage people who weren't able to be here to listen to the replay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, all of you, for being
here. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, everybody. I've been listening in the background. You did a great job, Michelle.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.